Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, very important broadcast, incredibly important transmission lined up today, just off the charts information. And we tend to be so comfortable living inside this new world order that as it radically accelerates its global program of warfare, dehumanization, impoverishment, and overthrows every form of liberty and ancient system of freedom and law, from the Magna Carta to the Constitution to similar laws and codes around the world, even I tend to just get punch drunk from it and just expect it to happen. So today we're going to really focus predominantly on the designed global financial implosion that the six big mega banks are openly launching to bring the world under their control through fraud, and to have the traitor leaders that they have installed trick the public into signing on to debt bondage. Now, on top of that, they're going to have environmentalist tyranny that has nothing to do with the environment. As a carbon tax, that's accelerating with the airlines, the counties, the cities, the states. They don't care. They're just going ahead with it worldwide. Global standardization. But the big news, obviously, is Iran. Why would they try to start a war with a country that is armed to the teeth and has China backing them up? And that many mainline analysts have said could lead to World War III, will definitely lead to a short-term industrial depression in Europe. There's different numbers, but roughly 40% of the world's oil supply on any given day travels through the Strait of Hormuz. The globalists are shutting off Iranian oil sales. That's about half the money their government gets to fund the whole country. And they're banning the importation of gasoline. The EU set, the US is involved, NATO. They're set to vote on this in 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks, regardless of what you think about the Iranians. This is not going to be another turkey shoot like sending in the giant U.S. military behind the scenes on record paying off the main Iraqi military. Over 90% of it they paid, the generals and others, beforehand to stand down when the invasion of 2003 kicked off after 13, 14 years of sanctions, on and off bombing, UN inspectors in dismantling it, Saddam a total tin horn, third world dictator. And we lost 6,000 U.S. troops, and conservatively a million Iraqis died one way or another from the war. That's the British Lancet Journal and many other prestigious groups in about 2007 said it was a mill. Probably 1,200,000. We know this. Iraq was 26 million. It's now 23 million. And they estimate about 2 million of those have fled the country. So 1 million people went bye-bye into a fog. And the West funded Shiite and Sunnis to kill each other, to create destabilization, to create the perception of a war, so that the West could stay there and have no-bid contracts and build up its bases and terrorist forces, Al-Qaeda forces, to launch attacks into Iran, which is now going on. And the controlled media thinks you're so stupid, they tell you Iran runs Al-Qaeda. Iran is arch enemies with Saudi Arabian Wahhabist. They are Shiite. Does Iran fund what you call asymmetrical warfare or terrorist? You bet your bucks they do, your bottom dollar. You bet your hind end they do. But to have our so-called media telling us that they're running Al-Qaeda, when our criminal government runs Al-Qaeda in Libya, in Syria, in Iran, that's the fact. So you've got big confrontation coming up on the other side. We'll break it down.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
There is absolutely no doubt now that Europe, the United States, Israel, as well as England, are preparing a military confrontation with the heavily armed 76 million person Iranian population. And we have the headline by Kurt Nimmo that breaks it all down. Alert: Iran crisis headed for World War III. And he has the links to the mainline communist Chinese government-run newspapers saying they will back Iran during a military attack. The Russians have also deployed some of their fleets and are saying they will defend Syria during an attack. U.S. military forces have been deployed as of last week, Israeli papers reported, with almost no coverage here, between the Lebanon-Syrian border. At least 2,000 U.S. troops were deployed, not for an exercise, but what Jerusalem Post called a deployment to coordinate military operations from air, land, and sea between the U.S. IDF Israeli Defense Forces. Between the U.S. and IDF forces. As you know, last week, the Iranian government, their head of their Joint Chiefs of Staff, and their top admiral both said, if you enter this area and do military drills off our coastline in the Strait of Hormuz, it will be your last warning. You have your last warning. Do not return. That's a quote. Do not return. This is your only warning. Now, the West, if you read the fine print of what the Euro, the EU dictatorship is pushing, the countries aren't allowed to vote on it. They're just in it. They're announcing they're going to start blocking gasoline imports into Iran. They import over 50%, probably 51% of their refined gasoline. And they export oil and then import it back refined. They don't have the money and the infrastructure to refine more than half of the fuel they need. So what they run their country off of, oil. Imagine if the United States had half its gasoline cut off. They are putting Iran into an absolute confrontation mode. Just as Lindsey Williams' source said, just as the Rand Corporation called for 3 years ago, it is happening. On top of this, Saturday, the United States and Israel announced they are going to send, in the next 5 days, their fleets into the Strait of Hormuz, including U.S. missile cruisers with nuclear weapons, Israeli missile cruisers with nuclear weapons, Israeli submarines with nuclear weapons. It is insane what's happening. And if you turn on the news, as I did this morning and last night, you're hearing about Tebow, or whatever his name is. You're hearing about the latest fashion shows. You're hearing about how great and invincible Mitt, open borders, carbon tax, pro-abortion, anti-gun, Obamacare author, how he's invincible and the presumptive nominee for the Republicans. And CBS, we have a video coming up later, CBS ran a news piece, just as others have done in past polls, and they mentioned first, third, fourth, and fifth, and don't mention Ron Paul in second, right behind Mitt Romney. We have an article on that by Paul Watson at InfoWars.com with links to the video as well and a screenshot of the poll. This is the way they treat the American people. Now, why is this Iran situation so important? Right as the globalists implode the world economy, have government sign sovereignty in Europe and the U.S. through the super Congress, through the super unelected EU bureaucracy, as the public is told it's their debt when 90%+ of it's not your debt. Tens of trillions a year pumped out in Europe, in the U.S., into black hole private banks. They tell Congress, they tell the European individual nations, we won't tell you where the money went. Private lawsuits find out because they're plaintiffs. Some of it's their money. They take people's private money, steal it out of accounts, bring down banks, bring down companies, and then get bailouts from government and don't even use it to prop up companies. They just shut them down and keep it. I mean, the world, according to all the former top federal regulators like William K. Black and others that sent hundreds to prison for just the small SNL, nothing compared to this. This is several orders of magnitude, meaning exponentially, logarithmically bigger. The globalists are madmen. 40-1 bets with people's private bank accounts, hailed by the media as absolutely cool top advisor to Obama, Corzine. Lies to Congress, gets caught, head of the CME group, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, says he's lying, nobody gets in trouble. I mean, we're seeing magnitudes of corruption by two magnitudes at least. Two logarithmic, exponential, hyperbolic, gargantuan, dwarfing anything ever seen, an orgy of all-out stealing everything. You know why? Because they're going to blow stuff up. They might even nuke cities and firebomb and bomb police stations and blame it on domestic groups. And the whore media will line up and say it's domestic groups. And the good old boys will get out and salute while talk show hosts are being arrested and drug off. That's what the globalists are counting on. Now, I'm telling you, they could say Iran did it. They could say anything. They could release a bioweapon. They could do any false flag you can imagine. But the entire system is set up around continuity of government and total takeover of society. And this is an absolute red level emergency situation. The globalists have shown that they are so wild with hubris and arrogance that they are capable of anything. We learned a year and a half ago, and nobody got in trouble, that the top 14 insurance companies, themselves subsidiaries of the six megabanks, Prudential and others, this was in Bloomberg AP, but never made it in your local paper, never a big nightly news item, made deals to take the death benefits of U.S. troops from World War II through current. I mean, that's cold-blooded, folks, to take people's private insurance policies and to let because the Department of Defense administers them. I mean, these are just naked crooks, but they know how to start a war with a country they've overthrown twice and set up torture groups. And they probably are running the mullahs today to some extent. Iran-Contra helped put them in power in 79. I mean, go look it up. If you didn't know the globalists, see, it's the megabanks playing us all off against each other, and they want a giant political diversion. They want a giant political distraction. They want a giant earth-shattering, earth-shaking war, a huge event where aircraft carriers are on fire and missiles are being fired and tactical nukes are being launched into Iran. And Iranian sleeper cells, which Iran actually says they've got and will use. The globalists may not have to stage a false flag. They'll have Iranians bombing New York, bombing Los Angeles, bombing Chicago, bombing Austin, Texas, bombing Houston, shooting people in the streets. Because they're getting nuked and attacked. And the globalists will push the plunger. Boom, tactical nuke, say Iran did it, and then it's martial law so hardcore, it's going to make your head spin, and you're going to be ordered to turn your guns in, and you're going to be ordered to swear an oath to them, and you're going to see all the spies they've hired, and all the control freaks, and all the intelligence units activated on you, and lots of televised SWAT teams killing, quote, you know, right-wing extremists, and lots of military bases being attacked by the globalists themselves, blamed on domestic groups claiming we work with Al-Qaeda. And Iran. This is the full spectrum warfare of the bankers running America. And once they trigger this war, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a war on the American people and a war on the Iranians. You better believe it. And it is going to be hellish. Now, I'm telling you, This is in the works, in the cards. What I've told you is a very possible scenario that I can see and reverse engineer from all their action, and I know they've got everything I just said in blueprint model battle plans right now. I just gave you one of their major battle plans right there. Because everything in intelligence is watching movements, and the globalists think you're stupid, so they hide everything in plain view. And about 90% of my prime projection I just gave you is open source information. The rest is knowing the enemy's mind. But they could go with a bio attack and say the Iranians did it, or just say one popped up during this crisis to get us all to unify behind the government. What did they talk about in the New Hampshire debate, the one I watched Saturday night? They kept talking about, we need to get the public trust back. It's all about making them look trustworthy and making them look good and fatherly and nice. Those are all little nobody puppets except Ron Paul. That's why it's anybody but Ron Paul. So I want you to understand, I told you they'd implode Europe over a decade ago through derivatives and use the EU bureaucracy to fully take what sovereignty was left. Boom, it's happening. Bank of the World being announced, every major magazine that's in financial news, that's establishment, Economist, Bloomberg, you name it, saying technocrats, unelected, need to run things now. Freedom isn't good. The Constitution's bad. You know, Time Magazine, Newsweek, they're selling tyranny as the answer right now. And I know their plan. I told you 10 years ago they start putting TSA on the streets. Now it's being announced and being done all over the country. You drive up and there's guys with machine guns searching your cars, searching you on the street. They're beta testing total martial law. And they're going to start a civil war. They want a civil war. They're going to march the idiots and Homeland Security up against the American people. We'll be right back.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Now, in the midst of a huge confrontation with Iran coming up, Iran says they take it as a military attack. If they are put under siege, their industrial civilization, a lot of areas of Iran look like Chicago or Dallas, Texas, big, glistening, high-rise buildings, people in suits and ties walking around. About 70%, if you look at the general polls, of Iranians are big fans of the U.S., but they're going to be attacked. And they're saying that when their power gets cut off, they are going to go ahead and block the Strait of Hormuz and give Europe and the U.S. the same medicine they're getting. And the Israelis and the U.S. have said, that is the people that run Israel and run the United States have said, you know what? We're going to attack you when you do that. It's like, we're going to cut your power off, and we're going to have terrorists inside your country. I even have a Washington Post article today admitting that the U.S. and Israel are blowing up missile bases and assassinating people in Iran. I mean, whole bases blow up. Whole military command bases blow up. Whole missile bases blow up. Ahmadinejad's driving across a bridge. It blows up right after he drives across it. The Iranians, if they were so crazy, they're just taking it and taking it and taking it and taking it. But they're saying, if you cut off half our power, we're going to have to go to war with you. Because siege, embargo, blockade is the oldest form of war. Under international law, Ron Paul has pointed out it's an act of war. Can you imagine if somebody cut off half our fuel? I mean, folks, a lot of the average good old boys, liquor sales, pizza sales go off the charts when there's a war. More than New Year's and Christmas and Thanksgiving combined. I've talked to liquor store owners. I've seen the statistics in the news. When there's a new war, people go get drunk. They have barbecues. They sit there like it's a video game. As the banks that run America use our military to terrorize third world nations, of course they hate us. And then they say, well, if we weren't dependent on oil, we wouldn't have to buy it from them. All the Republicans say that. The big oil companies and banks that run this country don't want the oil to be developed. They're always blocking it. It isn't some little hippie person blocking exploration of oil. It's the big oil companies. It's on record. The Associated Press sued in 2000 and got documents from 1996. We've written big articles on it where the big 10 oil companies got together in meetings and said, we got to buy up all the refineries. There's too much oil. We'll shut it down that way. And we'll also, you know, basically covertly fund environmentalist groups to stop development here, to shut down all the smaller companies. It's on record. And they fund the whole peak oil thing. The oil companies do. There's no oil left. To train you that there's no oil. Just like they're shutting down all of our coal plants that aren't owned by GE. And the power prices are going off the charts. They know what they're doing. They'd like to sell you less for a whole lot more. And it's real simple. It's real simple. The globalists are going to love it. Saudi Arabia has already said they're going to love it when the strait gets shut down. They're going to make even more money. You're going to pay a lot more. You're going to pay $6, $7 at the pump. And they're going to tell you Iran did it. You think the Iranians are like paying two, three times at the pump? They're human beings too. Now, let's go to this clip. Here's CBS News. It's got a thing with McCain worshiping, anti-gun, open border McCain, carbon tax McCain, torture lover McCain, who said he was for torture but voted for it. Against torture, but voted for it. Here it is. CBS reporter blatantly excludes Ron Paul from coverage, despite the fact that Paul is surging and Romney sliding. Yeah, Romney sliding in New Hampshire. That's what all the polls show. Paul is 8 to 15 points, depending on which poll. And look, it's going to show the graphic. CBS News. CBS News won't even tell their viewers Ron Paul exists. They think you're idiots. This is the disdain of these people. Here's the clip.
And that is to make sure that we make Mitt Romney the next president of the United States of America.
Expectations are high in what has become Romney's adopted home state. A new Suffolk University poll shows him with a commanding lead in New Hampshire at almost 30 points above his rivals. At the same time, Newt Gingrich and John Huntsman have faltered. Rick Santorum, who polls in single digits here, is looking to give Romney a run in the Granite State after his near victory in Iowa. As for the losers...
Okay, back that up for a minute with the graphic there, and I'm going to have that redone. We grabbed that CBS and put our graphic around it, but it cuts off the numbers there. I'm going to show this on the nightly news again tonight. It's big news, but there's the full graphic. Romney 43, Gingrich 9, Huntsman 7, Santorum 6. They don't even let you know there. That 20-something percent is Ron Paul, and they don't even show him. This is how they manage reality. This is why your neighbors seem so dumb. This is why they're so ignorant. I run into a lot of people still don't even know who Ron Paul is. So, yes, those of us that can see, that are awake, we know all about it, but the average person is literally sucking their thumb.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Okay, we are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer to break down more on Iran, then investigative journalist, former NSA officer Wayne Madsen, and will be joining us as well to break this down. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer currently serves as the Director of External Communications of the Center for Advanced Defense Studies as a consultant. He is a Senior Operations Officer, Military Operations Training Course, MOTC, and it just goes through all the combat he's been in, Afghanistan, you name it, the Stratus Ivy Group trying to kill bin Laden, who could have killed him but was blocked from doing it right before 9/11. Abel Danger, his testimony to Congress, he awarded the Bronze Star for his first of two combat tours in Afghanistan. He was credited for conducting highly complex operational support of NSA and for playing a critical role in breaking the back of the Taliban counteroffensive in fall of 03. In addition, he was called back to active duty in Desert Storm, Desert Shield in 91, performed special support to Army intelligence. He's been deployed to Thailand, Germany, New Zealand, and much more. OperationDarkHeart.com is where you can find out about his best-selling book that got pulled for a while when the government cut some pieces out of it. Really just as a dirty trick, because much of what he'd talked about had already been documented. But he joins us for the next 30 minutes to look at Iran. A lot of analysts have said this could lead to World War III. The Chinese have said, their president said, prepare for war with the United States. They've said they will back them militarily. They said they'll back Pakistan militarily. The question is, will they follow through on that? China needs that oil, has a lot of projects there. They're the ones helping them build reactors. And for those that don't know, who just tuned in, Debka File, Reuters, Jerusalem Post, I mean, I've got like 50 articles here, no exaggeration. Russian, French warships off Syria, Iran, U.S. drones over Iranian coast. Iran has ability to block Strait of Hormuz. U.S. General Dempsey tells CBS 3 weeks ago he said they couldn't. Breaking with Admiral Mullen, the last Joint Chiefs, and before that, Fox Fallon, who, of course, were Navy men, admirals. So a lot of weird stuff out of Dempsey, I tell you. If he's going to say they can't block it, he should just stick with it, even if it's wrong. But Iran reported to enrich uranium in underground lab. All of that's going on. Judy Miller alert, the New York Times is lying about Iran's nuclear program again, implying they're enriching weapons grade when it's documented that they're not. Here's another one, Iran to launch nuclear work again in that bunker. All of this is just getting crazier and crazier. And here's the biggest news from my perspective. We're going to Colonel Shaver. They're saying that they will block the Strait of Hormuz now in official Iranian press TV, official government organs. If the embargo by Europe goes ahead of Iranian oil, which is how they fund most of their government. And they're saying they're going to embargo refined gas. They sell raw oil and then buy refined gasoline 51%. So this is an industrial depression for them. So the people that want war have pushed them into this, and we're here. This is a big deal. And Europe's set to vote in less than 3 weeks on this, but that's not even the biggest news. We have the And I have trouble not, you know, hyperventilating when I think about this, because this is crazy, folks. They have the U.S. fleet, an Israeli fleet, the Associated Press reports steaming towards the Strait of Hormuz after Iran last week issued a challenge that do not come through the Strait again. This is your last warning. So that a wild provocation by Iran and Israel, the United States going in. So either they're going to blink or something's going to happen. How did things escalate this fast, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Shaver, sir?
Well, I think there's three things that we have to consider as we look to the future. First, as you brought out, and I think very well stated, the Iranians have huge problems inside if they decide to do the blockade, because they are a net importer of gasoline. Their economy depends on that. Secondly, no matter how much they saber rattle, and look, I got to tell you, Alex, we could take care of the Iranian Navy in a matter of hours, and I'm not exaggerating. I despite the fact that there's a lot of, I think, conflicting information. Look, we've got a carrier sitting, you know, in there right now. We don't need more than a couple of carriers to take care of what would be necessary. With that said, we have to understand the huge consequences of that action regarding our own economy. This is a fragile recovery. Some would argue it's barely moving forward. And I don't think anybody wants $5 gallons of gas, but that's what would happen the moment we actually have something happen to interfere with, I think, arguably, you're talking about one-third of the oil going through the Straits of Hormuz. Now, keep in mind that we're down to about 16% of our incoming oil comes out of that region, mostly out of OPEC countries, which are friendly to us. With that said, the cost of doing business with gas, with crude to go up. Secondly, the Iranians themselves, I think, are trying to do things. And I said this in a recent interview, which got a lot of additional airtime. The Iranians understand how to push our buttons because they've watched the North Koreans do it very effectively. One would call it brinksmanship, where the North Koreans have been able to walk us up to a line, poke us in the eye, and step back. I think the Iranians have noted how to do that. So the question becomes, do we blink? Do we actually give in to them like we've done the North Koreans in the past? I think the Iranians are trying to push us right to that level of will you back down or not. The third issue, I think, is one we have to consider very carefully, is the Iranian people. The Iranian people, for the most part, are pro-reform. They are essentially a people under the repressive regime of these mullahs who have kept them down since the 79. So the people themselves are pro-U.S. We need to do everything we can to prompt the Iranian people to move forward in a positive way to change their own government. Frankly, our taking military action at this point may well make them our adversary as well. What we need to do is walk the line here to not give in to the Iranian government, but at the same time encourage the Iranian people to do what's best for them and the rest of the world, to move forward with pushing their radical regime out and doing something to join the rest of the West of the free world.
Well, obviously, just with aircraft at high altitude, they can target with precision-guided munitions and take out most of those boats. But then when ships come by, there's all sorts of missiles hidden by the tens of thousands, as you know, in those hills overlooking that. And when the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dempsey, comes out and says, okay, they can block the strait, from the intel and the research, because I know you're really an Iranian expert, how are they planning to block it? What, just send a bunch of barges out and sink them, or sink other ships that are coming through?
Oh, they'd have to do something with large ships, the large container ships and fuel ships. That's the only way they could do it. Now, the whole idea of having these small weapons hidden within the mountains and hills, I get that. But we have very sophisticated technology which could take that out. And frankly, look, B-52s carpet bombing the coast, that's not unheard of. And I think we could take out a lot of that. What they'd have to do is smaller boats focused on some of these large tankers. So we can't be everywhere we need to be regarding the large tankers. That's something they would do. And you're an expert in this, Alex, asymmetric warfare. They would look at the seams within our own defense, where we can't be, they would go. And so we can't hope to actually protect every single ship going in and out of there. Therefore, they'd have to go under the radar, so to speak. So I think that they've been very effective with small boat operations. Frankly, I've talked to folks on the inside, and they're worried to death about these small rubber boats that they can't see coming that could do all sorts of things to large tankers that we can't prevent. So I think clearly they would be trying to do exactly what you're proposing here, so this kind of under-the-radar thing. With that said, I think that there's things that could be done in other parts of against their infrastructure, which would matter. But again, the military solution would require eventually, and I'm going to say this, people aren't going to like it, boots on the ground in some form. You can only do so much remotely. You can only do so much with drones. You can only do so much with airframes. To actually be effective, you've got to put boots on the ground, either special operations guys or military forces of some sort, to sort things out internally. And this is the problem with the inside of Iran. Like, we don't know where they've hidden everything. To be effective, out their nuclear.
I tell you what, Colonel Schaefer, stay there. Your cell phone's been great. I know we got you on short notice, but it's breaking up a bit. Let's give it a pause for a moment and see if your cell phone reception comes back here. Can you hear me now? Colonel Schaefer, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear me now.
Okay, great. Yeah, you started cutting out after you talked about boots on the ground.
Yeah. Well, basically, we've got to consider the fact that to be effective, you've got to go into the interior in some form. And so to do that, you've got to have special operations guys or somebody there to physically check things out, because they, the Iranians, know how to manipulate how they appear to our what we call ISR, our collection systems. So, again, if we're looking at actually being effective at going out after targets, I'm told there's 300 targets we would have to take out to be effective in going after the nuclear program. I just don't think we have that level of capability. And then plus you have secondary effects of the economic disaster that would be caused by an actual armed conflict with the Iranians. So I think both sides, I'd like to believe, are only saber-rattling. I think both sides understand the huge consequences of military action that would hurt both sides immensely.
We're going to pull this article up, Colonel Schaefer, but a few weeks ago, the head of Iranian intelligence for their parliament said that the attack would be taken to Tel Aviv and New York with asymmetrical, sleeper cells. From your research on Iran, do they have the capability to do that? And why would Iran you go from not saber-rattling to really saying, okay, your ships come back through, we're going to attack them. Okay, we'll attack you in New York. I mean, that's really asking for it to say that they're going to attack Tel Aviv and New York.
And that's where I don't think that the Iranians are willing to go to that level of asymmetric warfare against us. To answer your first question, Alex, do I believe they have cells? Yes, I do. The Quds Force and the IRGC are very effective, very sophisticated organizations. However, and you and I talked about this last interview, I don't think they're as ham-handed to do the assassination of the Saudi Arabian ambassador here as was purported. I just don't think that's sloppy. But with that said, then, I don't think they're willing to go to a use of these capabilities at this point in time because, frankly, they've been gaining everything they need to continue to develop their nuclear program and work to destabilize the Middle East through their own methods. So why would you change your game plan if you're actually being effective in doing what you need to continue to create your nuclear and be effective in defending the Syrians, because that's part of their deal. They're trying to defend the Assad government. So what would they change? I don't think that they actually do. They're going to be very effective in doing what they can. I don't think they're going to go past saber rattling at this point in time.
Well, that's good news. So then what do you make? I mean, obviously you can't tell us anything that's classified, but most people I talk to in the military, high and low, say Israel's going to attack. It's only a question of when. We have U.S. troops being sent into Israel right now for missile tests.
Alex, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm getting some static, but I think that it's very clear that the Iranians don't know.
Yeah, that's strange. His phone got broken in on. That was a cell phone. We got him short notice. We'll get him back on the line. But I was going to get into Ron Paul. You know, the Huntsman campaign ran an ad making fun of Ron Paul, talking about Israel founding Hamas, even though that's in the Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, Associated Press. That's not debatable. And that they've also been criticizing him for going along with what the last two chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said, what the Secretary of Defense says, what the head of the Bin Laden unit says, what Colonel Schaefer says, that it is not a good idea to attack Iran. I mean, even most of the establishment people say don't do it. Most of them say don't do it. And they are really trying to start this war up right now. So my question for him is going to be, you know, is the word he's getting, I mean, is this leaning more and more towards war? I mean, obviously it is. You've got Iran bluffing, or maybe they're bluffing, and the question is, will the Israeli and U.S. ships stage some type of Gulf of Tonkin, or will there be an accident? Colonel, I don't know how much of that last question you heard before your line got broken into and cut off, but...
Go ahead.
Well, it sounds like we've got a better connection now. What's the bottom line? I mean, are things accelerating towards war, or is this just more of the same? Because all my military sources say Israel's going to strike them. The question is, when?
Well, and that's the issue, I think, of the day. The Israelis still don't understand, or I don't think we know if our government would back them up on it. I think there's been a great deal of ambivalence, to use a word, from our own White House regarding what they would do on this. And I'm not sure if this is by design or by the fact they just don't know what to do. Look, the White House was asking as late as a couple of days before New Year's about getting assessments of what would happen if we go to war over the Straits, so regarding the economic question. So I just don't know how the White House is viewing all this. And I think the Israelis are getting the same kind of, we don't know what's going to happen. And the other thing about this, and again, I hear the same thing about the Israelis wanting to go forward. And Alex, you probably noted they actually tested the Jericho 2 missile back in December, which, by the way, just for your listeners to understand, that is a nuclear-capable weapon. That was no accident. They actually chose to do the test launch of that because there's rumors that I'm hearing also that the Israelis, if they feel that they really are going to be threatened, may go ahead and do a first strike at nuclear weapons, which would be obviously very bold, very dramatic. But this would be the consequence of them not, you know, knowing if we're going to back them up or not, because they may feel that their back is against the wall and have to take direct action. So that's what, you know, we a lot of folks do believe it. I do believe it. But I think the big question is, to the Israelis and to others, will we back them up or not? That's something I don't think anybody really knows.
Just incredibly creepy that they've got a bunch of Jericho missiles sitting out there in their silos and out there at their gantries with hundreds of nuclear weapons that Israel's got. And how is Israel going to try to sell that politically if they preemptively nuke somebody after all these decades denying they have nukes, denying the elephant in the room? And even if they release their strategic oil supply, there's going to be a chain reaction worldwide that's going to cause speculation to go crazy. They're talking about $7 a gallon gas, Colonel.
Right, exactly. And this is the issue of uncertainty. This is one of those areas where I think everybody would be better off understanding which side, who's going to do what. I mean, one of the constant criticisms I get from my Facebook friends is, you know, I keep talking about the fact that I do strongly believe this is all saber-rattling. Well, you know, even when you're saber-rattling, people can make mistakes. During the Cold War, we almost went to war with the Soviets three different times because of misunderstanding. So that could well happen here. The biggest thing we could do, Alex, as a nation, is be very clear on what we are willing to do. At this point in time, I think I agree with Ron Paul's position most on Iran. I think that he is most common sense. You know, the Iranians will probably end up with a weapon if they don't already have the components thereof. Therefore, you have to look at what's doable. The idea of attacking them at this point, based on the secondary and third order consequences, is probably not the best bet. But at the same time, we got to have a course of action moving forward, which will allow us to protect our allies. And the Israelis aren't feeling like they ain't feeling a lot of love from us when you have Secretary of Defense Panetta, you know, demanding that they get back to the table. So I think a lot of the rhetoric is not well thought. And I think by allowing the rhetoric to be what everybody understands, you know, to be the case, we're not really doing a clear, a good job of defending our own interests by the fact that we may have others act on our behalf and force us to do things we don't want to do. This is why it's very dangerous at the current point.
How did China and Russia fit into this? I mean, clearly their posture has gotten the most aggressive it's been since the Cold War. There's right. a thawing there. I mean, is that one reason Panetta and people are telling Israel, hey, knock it off?
Well, I think that both nations have their own interests, and this is one of those things I always tell people, always judge a nation by its own interests, not about what we think they're doing. All nations behave in their own best interests. The Chinese have a very strong relationship with the Iranians, with the Pakistanis, and plus, frankly, they're trying to develop their own influence over the region. So they're going to continue to do things which we don't like. That's the bottom line. The Russians are the same way. The Russians are trying to reinsinuate themselves as a superpower, and they're doing that by essentially what they did during the Cold War, proxy warfare. So we have to understand that these guys will be working with adversaries of ours at every level. So they're doing things behind the scenes, Alex, to do what they've always done, to try to gain advantage over us in such a way that their fingerprints aren't directly on it. The Russians and Chinese both have been helping the Iranians behind the scenes. Let's be brutally honest here. The Iranians would not be as far as they are with their nuclear program without direct support from both the Chinese and Russians. So we have to understand that. And I don't think our own nation, our own government, the White House, has fully understood that even if they talk nice to these folks, they aren't going to listen, and they're going to continue to do things to prop their own interests behind the scenes.
Let's say there's a clock and midnight is a bombardment of Iran, and then all the other horrible things, different things that can come out of that, but all of them are not nice. Clearly, the hands are moving closer to midnight.
Right. Well, I think we're at 11 o'clock. I think we're at a solid 11 o'clock, and this is what's going to happen, I believe, very clearly. The thing that's going to prompt the Israelis to act is the moment in time when they believe, and this is going to be key, Alex, they believe, when the Israelis believe the Iranians can mount nuclear weapons onto a delivery system. This is the thing that I think we need to focus on, and this is what I've been talking to my friends about. The Israelis are concerned about the Iranians being able to launch weapons in their direction. The moment that the Israelis feel threatened, that is to say that they think the Iranians can actually put a nuclear weapon, a nuclear missile, a nuclear tip on a missile, that's when they're going to act. I think it's a foregone conclusion the Iranians are going to have nuclear weapons. I think there's little we can do at this point to prevent that. However, we can do other things to make sure that if they have nuclear weapons, they cannot be used. That's going to be the critical juncture. And I think that that moment in time is still a few months off, maybe up to 6 to 8 months before they're going to be able to do that.
Some of my military sources say Iran, that they've been given briefings that Iran does have primitive atomic weapons. But is that internal propaganda within the Army?
No, I believe that to be true. I believe, based on everything I'm told, that there's at least two nuclear weapons. That is to say that there are sufficient physical material that they can put together. But with that said, you know, they are not, they can't be used. They can't deliver them. Therefore, that is the other thing. And simply having a nuclear weapon doesn't really give you much. You have to be able to use it. It's got to be a credible threat.
Sure, and if it doesn't airburst, it just blows a crater in the ground.
Right, exactly. So they don't have a credible way of delivering, Alex. And I think, again, that's where we need to look at that. If when the Israelis and others believe there's a credible way of delivering a weapon of mass destruction to a target, they don't have that at this point in time. They've been trying to develop that. And I do believe this is the one area I do agree with Panetta on. I think they're at least 8 months to a year away from that. However, I do believe that the horses have left the barn regarding a weapon. I think
sure.
They have a weapon.
Sure. In the limited time, and you've been very gracious to be with us here, Colonel, specifically looking at what's happening in Iran, how does it tie into Pakistan? What's behind all of these military strikes on Pakistani bases there on the border? And if Israel's so worried about Iran having nukes, I mean, from the numbers I've seen, Pakistan's got something like 100 of them in delivery systems?
Yes. I can't go into all the details, but there's at least 100 nuclear warheads that the Pakistanis have used, developed. Let me say something else frightening. They've got enough material to probably create another 100. And the other thing, yes, they have delivery systems. So I can be honest with you. I've been working on task forces looking at this for the past 5 years, and I think this is a much more worrisome target because if the central Pakistani government falls, they have not only weapons, they have delivery systems for them. And I think that's something the current White House doesn't like talking about. And, the radicals within Pakistan continue to make headway in destabilizing that government. So I believe it's only a matter of time before that government becomes essentially a failed state, and you're going to have over 100 nuclear weapons that we will be worried about. And I can tell you that is one thing we are very worried about. The Indians are also worried about that, Alex. I mean, that is a serious issue, one of which I think is as important, if not more important, than the Iranian issue.
Well, why doesn't Israel seem concerned about that? Because, I mean, what they've got medium-range missiles in Pakistan.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they believe they're trusting us, better for worse, and having us deal with the Pakistanis. This is one of those things that I keep talking about regarding Afghanistan. The issue is not Afghanistan, Alex. It's Pakistan. Always has been. And this is something I think we continue to pretend otherwise. And this is why, there's been some folks doing a policy review of the region. There'll be some meetings on the Hill next week, which I think you'll probably see some results out of. But frankly, a lot of the folks I talk to understand clearly that the real issue needs to be Pakistan, not Afghanistan. And frankly, you know, the Iranians and what they're doing is important, but we already know that there's a fleet of nuclear weapons, nuclear tipped missiles, which are available to radicals if they continue to push and destabilize the Pakistani government.
Sure, briefly, what do you make of the demonization of Ron Paul for pointing out what you and countless other analysts said, that whole thing with the Iranians wanting to kill the Saudi ambassador? I mean, you're saying that's baloney. They're attacking Ron Paul for that.
Well, let me point out two things to you, Alex. Remember, right when it was announced, they kept saying we're going to have more information coming out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Colonel, will you do 5 more minutes with us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to go to break and come back and get into that. So many questions. Regardless, the world's getting into a very crazy position.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
So there's been an amazing demonization of Ron Paul for reading the newspaper, I guess. Jerusalem Post and others admit Israel set up Hamas as a counterbalance to the Iranian Hezbollah. They demonized him in a TV ad. Huntsman did. Other TV ads saying he's crazy for saying that plot was obviously made up. to have, you know, some used car salesman kill the ambassador. But there were just countless analysts on, not just Colonel Schaefer, on TV. The former head of the Bush administration's unit on Iran said it was preposterous. So I guess the mainstream media counts on people being dumb to sit there and tell them that Ron Paul's crazy when all he's doing is repeating what most of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have said, what the former head of the Israeli Mossad said when Netanyahu fired him last year. For me, knowing basic news, Ron Paul's just mainline common sense, Colonel Schaefer.
Let me point out two points to back you up on this. First, if you recall, everybody who was supposedly briefed on the classified information on this plot said, oh, you're going to see more coming out over the next few weeks showing that we're correct. Have you seen a single follow-up article showing that this was that this was true? Not a one. So that premise that it was, you know, something more to it has been proven false by the administration's own failure to provide additional clarification and evidence. So there you go, first point. Second point is that, look, I've talked to Bruce Fein. I consider Bruce Fein a close friend. Bruce is one of Ron Paul's senior advisors. And from talking to Bruce and others, Paul is trying to actually get what he believes out to be what is fact, not what is propaganda, but is fact. And I got to tell you, from talking to Bruce and others, you know, there's no doubt that Ron Paul would use military force in a very severe way against our adversaries when you have clear intel indicating that something's going on. But Alex, you and I both know the intelligence community has been politicized by whoever is in charge. The Bush White House, the Obama White House, doesn't matter. You have people who are policy types trying to forge intelligence around the policy instead of the other way. Paul is trying to get it to be where it was, where you take the intel and you make your decisions based on the intel, not on what your wishful thinking based on your political perspective is. And I think that's what the issue is when Ron Paul is getting slammed.
Well, he certainly is. It looks like the media, all the other politicians are getting behind a strike on Iran. In closing, what's the time frame that we could see this escalate, or briefly, what are a few of the ways that things could get triggered here?
Well, any miscalculation regarding the military, you could see a exchange of fire, which could escalate quickly. The thing is, I think the Iranians clearly would still lose in that scenario. The Iranians want to have a nuclear weapon system which is deliverable. That is to say that they could use. They're not there yet, Alex. So we're talking, I think we're going to see saber rattling for another 6 months. We're talking about the fall before the Iranians actually have something that could be used to deliver a nuclear device. So I think we're talking about saber rattling through the spring, unless a miscalculation occurs. But I think we're going to be revisiting this very seriously towards the fall once a delivery system is available to them. So I predict more saber rattling unless somebody loses their cool and does something bad, at least through the summer.
But right on time, that's the October surprise, and that would help Netanyahu in an election. If the war was happening right then, it would help Obama. People rally around the government when there's a war, even if the war is a fraud. In fact, that's the word I'm getting, is that they've been looking at it, but that it could be an October surprise.
I agree with your assessment, Alex. That could well be the case.
Wow. Well, Colonel Schaefer, I look forward to having you back up soon via Skype. Yeah. I know you're going to be on with Judge Andrew Napolitano later in the week, breaking this down more. OperationDarkHeart.com, your best-selling book, breaking so much of what happened in Afghanistan down. Thanks for spending time with us.
Great. Thank you, Alex.
All right. There goes Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. We're going to come back, hit other news. Wayne Madsen to give us his perspective on Iran, and he's another very well-read person on that front coming up. I want to get into some of the election news, Ron Paul news, New World Order news straight ahead. We'll do that. I also want to recap first some of the other Iran news. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Kurt Nimmo's article.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Obama has announced that he wants an internet ID. Of course, Microsoft has already set up all their new computers for years with that. And soon it won't be a thumbprint or even a special number. It will be a face scan. And they're coming out with the new mouse-driven systems on the new Windows system where you don't have a mouse, your eyes control it. And the Microsoft Kinect video game face scans you and voice prints you. Face scanning to buy and sell. That has been the big global consortium plan all along. You will scan your hand or your face. And, of course, the churches say that's not the mark of the beast. They say it's going to be a mark in the face or in the hand. Well, what do you think your own biometric outline basically is? But even if God didn't exist, the point is the globalists are trying to play God by setting all of this up. And we do have the article by Kurt Nemo that breaks down the fact that if a war does kick off with Iran, it could lead to a World War III type scenario. War in the Middle East now appears imminent as the United States, Britain, and the European Union and Israel put the finishing touches on an embargo of Iran, a de facto declaration of war. See, that's one thing. Iran may be forced into this. And warships steam towards the Persian Gulf. Consider the following recent developments. U.S.-Israel war game in Persian Gulf. On Friday, the U.S. and Israel announced they plan a massive military exercise in the Persian Gulf in an attempt to confront Iran, in their own words. The exercise dubbed Austere Challenge 12, and they're going to make Iran austere, cutting off half their fuel, will include the participation of thousands of U.S. and Israeli soldiers and will test multiple air defense systems against incoming missiles and rockets for when Iran's attacked. And it'll be on the media. How dare Iran fire back? Only the worst fire back. Now I've seen police in the U.S. type it in. Police chief says fetal position assault on officer. They actually say if you get in a fetal position, it's assault and it's resisting. So, I mean, if they walk up and say, open your shirt, I'm shooting you with a shotgun. If you don't say, thank you, God, open it and say, kill me, and then say, I worship you five times, then you're evil. I mean, of course, I'm being absurd here, but that's how ridiculous this has gotten. A few months ago, they were kicking people and pepper spraying them, balled up protesters, and they said, yeah, well, that's what they deserve. That's a form of resistance. Ah, yes, you're supposed to say, here's my teeth, kick them out. They're like, good, you get a medal. Knock your teeth out. Don't worry, the bankers are going to knock your dollar out and knock you out with sodium fluoride. Everybody gets to get hurt here in the New World Order. On January 2nd, during the last military exercise, Iran tested the Qadir missile, a long-range sea-to-shore missile, and the surface-to-surface NOR missile. The NOR is an advanced radar evading, target seeking, guided, and controlled missile. Can easily find its target and destroy it, IRNA reported. Iran has announced a new war game, and that's going to coincide with British warships, U.S. and Israel, including destroyers that are now all converging in the area. French and Russian warships are off Syria, basically threatening each other. Ron Paul points out that sanctions are the first step to war. These are serious blockades and embargoes are about to set up. Oil prices have already risen to $113.20 a barrel because of this. Iran missile-based propaganda. Now that Iran's Ahmadinejad is visiting Latin America, the discredited rumor that Iran is building intermediate-range missile launch pads at a base on the peninsula in Venezuela has resurfaced. It was initially floated by the German newspaper Die Welt and subsequently boosted by the Jerusalem Post, a documented neocon propaganda operation. The Post posted the story as well. The story brings to mind the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 62, but those were real missiles. According to Die Welt's story, the Iranians paid tens of millions in cash for the base that would be used to fire missiles in the United States. After Iran is attacked, it was reported the Revolutionary Guard-controlled engineering group Qatam al-Anabi is helping build the site. And it just goes on from there. Now, look at this article here out of the Washington Post that I just mentioned. Obama wants internet ID. FCC's ahead proposed broadband reform as well, and that they internet ID people to, quote, make the biggest users pay. They say you're making it more, cost more for those that don't use as much. This is how they always shell new taxes, consumption taxes this way. globalist corporate taxes to companies, you name it. It's been high tech driving this economy that would be in a complete cardiac arrest for the last 14 years or so, 13 years or so since 99, if we didn't have this high tech economy. And to let government put taxes on the internet, which they're starting to push at state and federal level and international, and to let corporations start charging you more, you already get charged more for the type of connection or data plan you get on a cell phone, on a computer, any of this. You're already paying for it. But how do they start in the 20s? With driver's license, which were commercial license. They told the public, the trucks are tearing up the roads you pay for. They use the roads to make money. They're in commerce. Let's start taxing them. And the public said, yeah, get them. And by the 50s, they made everybody get a driver's license and start paying. Now they use it to totally track us. In a Monday speech, Federal Communications Chairman outlined a draft proposal that would reform the commission's Lifeline program to include provisions to encourage broadband adoption. The program, currently aimed at providing affordable telephone service to low-income Americans, is supported by the Universal Service Fund. The program is outdated, focused on phone service, when high-speed internet has become our vital communications platform. But buried in there, they have the other part. In his remarks, the chairman said the program has been successful, but has also been plagued with problems of accountability and efficiency. Multiple service providers are often supplying Lifeline subsidies to the same households, he said, because there is no centralized system. They want an ID to address the issue. The draft proposal creates a national database of Lifeline users to prevent duplicative billing, and you know that's going to be used for Internet ID. It also sets a budget for Lifeline aimed to connecting eligible consumers with staying within budget. Oh, tracking you, and requires the participating companies be subject to independent audits every 2 years. You think the government's just going to give you a free phone line for free? It's going to be used to have the FCC take over the web. The chairman said the FCC work would deal with existing broadband adoption programs in a pilot program. So basically, they're going to expand that. And of course, the FCC's also announced they're going to regulate broadband, broadcast, you know, internet, wireless, and going to have, quote, just like Europe already does in many areas, filters on hateful material. Hate, hacking, gambling, porn, and there's one other that they have in these databases. And guess what? InfoWars is listed in many databases under hate and under hacking. I've even seen it listed under gambling. There's no gambling going on. So you go to a library, you go to a college, you go to a military base, you go to a train station that's got free broadband, which taxpayers are paying for. Government doesn't give you something free unless they want the control to set the precedent. So that's what's going on that front. Now, I mentioned this earlier. You can go up to InfoWars.com and see it. And I also played the CBS clip, and I want to cue that back up if we can. Later, we're going to have some clips in the third hour, more clips of Obama speeches saying, I don't need Congress. I want to do things without Congress. I'll do whatever I can. Yeah, launch wars without Congress, shut down power plants without Congress, and outside of law, make us adopt, you know, all these new green regulations that are about federal control, not about greening. I mean, it just goes on and on. CBS reporter blatantly excludes Ron Paul from coverage, despite the fact that Paul is surging and Romney sliding, gap now only 15 points. Despite the fact that Ron Paul is polling in second place in New Hampshire and rapidly closing the gap on Mitt Romney, according to the latest polls, one CBS reporter did her best to convince viewers that Paul does not even exist. It's a familiar picture for Paul supporters who have had to watch over and over as mainstream media, and again, I've got to get all my writers and myself to stop calling them mainstream media, whores, prostitutes, corporate paid deceivers, zombie control systems, certified twisters and deceivers, dissemblers. I mean, I don't know, den of viper media, dinosaur devil media, dinosaur tyrant media, terrible lizard media. I don't know. It's a familiar picture for Paul supporters who have had to watch over and over again as mainstream media that is deceivers, talking heads and pundits have consistently either laughed off the Texas congressman's chances for GOP nominee or simply excluded Paul from their coverage altogether. And again, we're going to play that clip in a moment. We played earlier. However, within the past few weeks, the networks were forced to begin taking Paul seriously as he began consistently polling in first or second ahead of the Iowa caucuses, eventually finishing third in what was easily a three-way tie. Yeah, that was clear fraud there. That's now been confirmed. But it was accidental. They had to have a gentleman's agreement and precinct after precinct and say that Paul got less and Santorum got more. We come back, we'll play that clip. Going into New Hampshire and ahead of two debates this weekend, Paul was polling in strong second, as he has been for some time. However, that did not stop CBS political correspondent Jan Crawford from showing graphics and talking about recent polling without even mentioning Paul's numbers or even that he was involved in the race at all. Yeah, they have Romney 43, Gingrich 9, Huntsman 7, Santorum 6. And, of course, you've got Ron Paul, depending on the poll, 10 to 13 points. Some polls only 8 points behind Romney. You know, I keep going back to this theme over and over again, but you've seen every major TV network. When Ron Paul comes in second or first place or third, they just don't even show him in the running. And Jon Stewart a few months ago famously, you know, put all that together in a compendium just to show the arrogance and how left, right, center, the entire establishment demonizes Ron Paul and demonizes anybody else that doesn't want foreign banks robbing us blind and setting up paramilitary police on street corners fondling our genitals. TSA now fondling people all over the country on the streets. And I get calls all the time and look it up, and it's in the local news where there they are. And I'm going to get back into that in a moment. New Jersey will pay you $1,000 to rat out your neighbors for guns. It's here, folks. And as the economy implodes, more and more of this nation is going to live off of ratting out their neighbors. But here's, again, that CBS piece. We have an article on Infowars.com about it. CBS reporter blatantly excludes Ron Paul from coverage. Doesn't show that he was in second place. Here's the clip.
Forum, who polls in single digits here, is looking to give Romney a run in the Granite State after his near victory in Iowa. As for the losers in Iowa, right. Texas Governor...
So there was the graphic on CBS News, and you watch the whole news piece. No mention of Ron Paul. It's like he's from the planet Mars. He's rising in the polls. Romney's dropping. And they're desperately ignoring him because they know he could win. Oh, my gosh. It's just off the charts insane. Now, we're going to cover this more on the nightly news this evening. But this is a big deal. It's up at Infowars.com. New Jersey will pay you $1,000 to destroy the Second Amendment. Totally disgusting. It's the citizen informant. Without citizen informants, tyrants could never retain the kind of power they wield. In fact, without citizen informants, totalitarian movements would never gain traction. But there's always little minions who want some uniform and want to oppress people, and always little minions that want to toady after them. Of course, they always gnash their teeth later. This is why every functional oligarchy throughout history has implemented programs designed to encourage the development of common spies using the promise of monetary reward and collective recognition. Sadly, there are many in our society that would gladly sell out their closest friends and family to the tortures of authoritarian bureaucracy for nothing more than a firm pat on the head and a few fiat dollars. If there was ever more deranged lot of bottom-feeding opportunist scum, the citizen informant is the very essence of it. With the implementation of the See Something, Say Something program and the increasing drive by the White House to institute community watch efforts to rout out extremists, that's the government's main, not crime, not even foreign terror, it's domestic groups. I told you that years ago, but now it's public. Showcase quite clearly in strategic outlines like the empowering local partners to prevent violent extremism in the United States. But now in New Jersey and other areas, they're offering a 1,000 $1 for every person you turn in who owns guns. And alt-market.com originally wrote this article, excellent piece, breaking it down. And we have a clip of the video. This is going on all over the country, but here's New Jersey. Play that clip. It's a TV ad. No more guns. 877-NWK-GUNS.
Hi, I'm Mayor Cory Booker, and I, like so many in our city, are just saying enough. We have had a significant reduction in shootings in our city, but it is still too many. There are a small group of people in our city that think they can walk around with guns. It is unacceptable. But we can't just wish this will stop. We can't just hope this will stop. We as individuals have to do something about it. So we have a program in our city right now that's completely anonymous, and we will give you cash, $1,000, to anyone who calls our anonymous tip line. Give us the information about who is carrying a gun. If we don't even have to have a conviction, we arrest that individual and simply get that gun off the streets. You call back, get your second group of digits, go to a bank or send somebody to a bank, and they will give you $1,000 in cash, no question asked.
Now, again, he made the news a year ago announcing that. Now they've got the TV ads on television waving money around. What about people carrying guns to protect themselves, who own businesses, who don't want to get knocked on the head? I carry a gun. See, I don't live in your town, pal. But you know what? I've had people move here. Like the carpet cleaner 12, 13 years ago saw a shotgun before I had children on the rack in my studio at my home. And the guy flipped out and ran off and called the cops on me. Well, tried to. And then I called and said, did they call the cops on me? I called the cleaner place. They said, sir, we stopped him. We understand you're allowed to have that. But you probably shouldn't have it out in plain view. Get out of Texas. Just get out.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, we are now here at the midway point in this worldwide broadcast. I'm going to have completely open phones and news in the third hour today. The toll-free number to join us, if you want to go ahead and get lined up, I'd love to hear from you on any of the issues we've mentioned, any of the topics we've raised, or any questions or comments you've got out of left field, right field, whatever the case is, I'd love to hear from you, 800-259-9231. I want to continue with our focus on this Iran situation, because it's definitely escalating, and you heard Colonel Schaefer last hour that it's never been closer to war than it is now, but that he thinks it'll be an October surprise. And that more of this is saber-rattling, but once it kicks off, it could lead to a wider regional war with the Chinese involved and World War III. That's why we've got the article up at Infowars.com right now. Alert, Iran crisis headed for World War III. Doesn't mean we can't turn it around. It's like if I got in the car today instead of driving to Dallas, I could turn around before I got there. But it's headed that direction. It's like telling some young teenager who's robbing houses and using hard drugs, you're headed to the penitentiary or dead. You can still turn it around. But before we go to our next guest on this subject, Wayne Madsen, before I introduce our guest, I want to remind you that we have the book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, back in print. It's been out of print for over a year, and that original book is out of print forever. This is a updated and abridged book. It's not the size of the Dallas phone book. It's more the size of the Waco phone book, or the Lakeway phone book, to use some Texas parlance. So it is available at Infowars.com. All educators need this to understand why you're not allowed to teach, why our children are taught to regurgitate. They're trained. They're not educated to be true free thinkers. Excellent book available at Infowars.com by the consummate insider from a Skull and Bones family and the former head of Policy Department of Education, available at Infowars.com. We also have the Alex Jones Everything Special, all 18 of my DVDs. And we're going to stop offering this at the end of the month. It was so popular, we're extending it because it's such a great tool. Normally $360 for all 18 of my films. Fall of the Republic, Endgame, Terror Storm, Obama Deception, Martial Law, all of them. And a Free Citizen Rulebook and InfoWars and In the Fed bumper stickers, $99.95. And the profit we do make funds my producers and writers and researchers and graphics people and typo specialist. I'm joking. I'm just joking around. I'm always doing typos myself, so we're trying to work on never having those. But I see a lot of typos on even so-called mainstream media because I think word processors are just rife with it. The point is you fund our truly alternative media operation when you buy the books, the videos, the DVDs, the T-shirts, and you get tools, more importantly, that are key in waking people up. We couldn't have built this without your support. So I want to thank all of you for being supporters of PrisonPlanet.tv. We have 15-day free trial running right now as well. We're doing the nightly news. It's really finding its legs and growing, and it will soon exit the beta testing format. So again, we want to thank all of you that are PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers as well. And lastly, I have now lost 27 pounds. And we're going to do some before and after. I should have done the before photos, but we got plenty of video of me. 27 pounds in, it's not even 6 weeks. It'll be 6 weeks Thursday. 27 pounds. And I've done it with exercise, cutting back a little bit on what I was eating. But mainly when I'm really starving, I just have a tangy tangerine or I have some of the longevity whey powder. Mixed with real raw milk. And I mean, it's incredible. My breakfast is at like 5 a.m. I got up today at actually 4 a.m. I couldn't sleep. It was a tangy tangerine and then a cup of coffee. And then I all I've had so far then for my breakfast at about 10:30 was a glass of whole milk, raw milk with some whey powder. And then I'm going to have another tangy tangerine, mineral vitamin drink, and then eat a lunch that's pretty much my dinner. Then I'll have another tangy tangerine tonight, and it's because my body needed the minerals and the vitamins and kept wanting food. I mean, this stuff really works, folks. And it's not even sold as a weight loss deal. That's what Ben Fuchs, the pharmacist, told me to use it for, and it's really working. I mean, I'm starving. Bam, tangy tangerine. Or bam, pollen burst. Bam, rebound. You go to InfoWarsTeam.com. And you can buy the products or sign up and get a discount when you order them or become a distributor in your area and help fund the InfoWar and yourself and the free market. You know, most revolutionaries rob banks and things. We don't do that. We just promote products we believe in. So go find out and get the special deals on longevity products at InfoWarsTeam.com. There's also banners on InfoWars.com and find out how awesome the entire line of products are. And by the way, I'm not kidding. I've got another 33 pounds to lose. I'm going down to about 190 or so. I'm going down, like the Led Zeppelin song, going down now, going down to Chicago. We ought to go out with that, John Harmon. I know you've got it in the computer. All right, that's enough. Let's go to Wayne Madsen until 5 after next hour, WayneMadsenReport.com. He, of course, worked with the National Security Agency. He also worked with major corporations on computer systems. I can't go over his entire bio here. He was in submarine, anti-submarine warfare in the Navy before that. And he's written for some of the biggest publications in the country, like the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Philadelphia Inquirer, Houston Chronicle, Miami Herald. WayneMadsenReport.com is where he you can find all of his great work. And he joins us to give us his take on Iran, this spectrum, this cornucopia of things that are happening. Sir, break that down for us and then you know, give us your take on other things that are happening geopolitically right now, Wayne Madsen.
Okay, Alex. Well, I actually happened to have spoken to an old friend of mine the other evening who was a very big advisor on U.S. Policy in Iran. Individual speaks fluent Farsi, the language of Iran, as well as Urdu, the major language of Pakistan, and Dari, which is spoken in Afghanistan. And his take on things was he is very much afraid that the U.S. will participate in some sort of military action before the election. Now, my feeling on this is, talking to some other people, is what will that entail? Will that be overt military action, or will it be covert U.S. support for a Anglo-Israeli and possibly French attack on Iran? That avoids the issue of the body bags and coffins coming back to Dover Air Force Base during the election year, but also basically disarms those Republican critics of Obama who say he's not doing enough against Iran. So he can have his cake and eat it too. There are some real problems with this, however. And I add the French in there. That's a caveat. Nicolas Sarkozy is also running for re-election. But in his case, he may see French support for military attack as something that can benefit him. He's very far down in the polls, and he may try to play that nationalistic card in France against, especially against Marine Le Pen, who's running for president from his right. So the British, though, you can pretty much count them in. The Israelis count them in. The U.S. may play a role, but it will be one where Obama can say we support the action, but look, no U.S. military troops are involved. You know, the other day Obama announced a new strategy for the U.S. militarily. He's shifting focus from the Middle East to East Asia, and he met with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the chief of staff of the Army. This is a Pentagon plan. He's on board with it.
And that's just a public announcement of what China already knows. So-called yeah. U.S. bases, our country's been taken over, being built now, even in Australia. That's why the president of China, as you know, a month ago said, prepare for war with the United States. I mean, that was in major headlines. This is getting crazy.
Well, and here's the problem. China and two of our allies in East Asia, South Korea and Japan, have already announced they're not going to abide by these sanctions against Iranian oil shipments, which are going to be kicking in soon. They've announced they're not going to participate. They both, all three countries, China, Japan, and South Korea, rely heavily on Iranian oil exports. And what they get in, what Iran gets in return for that is refined gasoline, because the Iranian refining capacity has really been hurt by U.S. sanctions. Of course, we know that Dick Cheney's company, Halliburton, tried to get in there and improve on those capabilities. But
They had it under Bush set up where only they were allowed to sell them the equipment. So just shows that they're always lecturing us about be for war, you're with the Iranians. Meanwhile, they're in business with them. But specifically, Wayne, looking at this right now, what do you make of the Israeli, U.S., British fleet steaming back into the Strait of Hormuz? What do you make of the Iranians a week ago saying, you better not come back through there, this is your final warning? What do you make of Iran talking about asymmetrical warfare in Tel Aviv and New York? Why are they saber-rattling so much more now?
Well, they're having to placate the war hawks in Washington, London, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Paris. People like Ahmadinejad has to placate his war hawks in Iran. But I think there was a little bit of a monkey wrench thrown into these plans when the U.S. Navy rescued about a half dozen or so, or about a dozen Iranian fishermen who had been captured by Somali pirates. Now, the U.S. Navy and the Iranian Navy and also the Iranian Revolutionary Guards do maintain protocols to avoid incidents in the Gulf, and these have been very successful. So there are communications constantly between the U.S. Navy in the Gulf and the Iranian Navy and military. And I think the fact that the U.S. Navy rescued these dozen Iranian fishermen really was probably not very popular amongst some of the war hawk neocons here in Washington. They probably would have rather had the Somali pirates keep those Iranian fishermen. But I think that there's wiser heads are prevailing right now, especially in the U.S. Navy, the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain, and they have to deal with the Iranians on a daily basis. And obviously they don't want to see any kind of war, because they know, our fleet is pretty vulnerable to Iranian missile attacks over there. And as you mentioned, asymmetric warfare, Iran has a lot of influence in Iraq. And look, not all the U.S. troops have left Iraq. There's still at certain bases there. We still have the private security contractors there. We still have a whole load of State Department personnel there. And these people would all be sitting ducks if the Iranians decided to activate their allies in Iraq. So the Pentagon, probably more than anyone else knows what's at stake if these war hawks get their way.
Now, Wayne, I want to put out a nuanced statement here, because our detractors will always do what they do. They'll always build straw men that don't really represent who we are or what we are, and then, you know, go out and have a sword battle with the straw man and claim that they've defeated it. But if you go back into October to November, it was all over the Israeli news, all over the European news, that a strike was imminent. The Washington Times reported that Netanyahu wanted it. He believes politically that'll make him popular. And then right on time, all of my military sources said, yeah, it's on. We're being told, get ready. You know, move the troops to Kuwait, out of Iraq, get ready to back up the attack, getting, you know, troops covertly into Israel, now admitted months later. And you know, the point is, they were moving and green lighting. So we said, get on air, call Congress, tell them don't do this, get pressure on the military, listen to the former admirals, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mullen, who said it was a disaster, the former head of Mossad, who Netanyahu fired because he wouldn't go along with this. This is not a good idea. Even, you know, the top globalists are having a fight on this. And then they spin it and say, oh, we're always hearing about war with Iran. It's never going to happen. And then now it's in the news that they're moving towards a strike. Israel says they may strike. But the establishment puts out their operatives to say, oh, that's ridiculous. There's not going to be a war, so that we can't build opposition. Same thing with the NDAA. The first month, they have a debate saying it doesn't affect citizens. Then later, they say, you bet it does. After they'd already passed it, then Obama signed it. He said he wouldn't sign it to kill opposition because, well, he's not going to sign it anyways. These are tactics. You've learned them. I've learned them. You've been on Capitol Hill for decades. I see you on C-SPAN there writing notes during these hearings. But the public gets fooled by these tricks. So they keep pushing for war while separately saying it's asinine that they're going to have a war as a psychological tactic so that we can't build an opposition to it. Then if we're successful and back off war for the third or fourth time, as we know 5 years ago, Cheney was about to do it, attack our own ships, New Yorker magazine, Cy Hirsch, is the same thing. Then when we're successful backing them off, oh, see, there was never a threat. Do you agree with how I'm breaking down their psychological operation or PSYOP? And do you concur with what I'm saying?
Well, of course, and we have the master of this cognitive dissonance, Cass Sunstein, is basically the propaganda czar for the Obama White House. So, I mean, look at all his friends and colleagues and even his wife, Samantha Power. She's the person who's dreamed up all these, Arab Spring revolts and these themed George Soros-type color revolutions all around the world. And some of them, obviously, the one in Iran failed. The one in Tunisia and Egypt were successful, although they're probably ruining the fact that they even supported the one in Egypt. But I think you're correct. Yeah, most of this is a propaganda war where they're just trying to get into people's heads, make them think something when in fact they're doing something entirely different.
From your decades of research, and I respect your analysis, your view on this, what do you think is going to end up happening with Iran? Or what are the two or three different probable scenarios that we're going down?
Well, we already know that this the New York Times, once again, as is its wont, has put out this false information about Iran trying to develop a nuclear weapon. This is the same nonsense that Judy Miller was putting out when she worked for the New York Times. We're seeing it play out again. There's been really no change in that program. It's still CIA came out in 2003 with a new finding that Iran did have some nuclear weapons intentions, but it is basically a peaceful nuclear power program now. But they're still pushing this meme that Iran wants a nuclear weapon, and as long as they do that, they're going to have support from some of these little Republicans.
All right, stay there. I want to hear where you think all this is going and the war rhetoric intensifying. Wayne Madsen's our guest, WayneMadsenReport.com. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com and, of course, PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, but stay with us. More coming up.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, we've got Wayne with us till 5 after. Then it's going to be your phone calls and a bunch of news for the rest of the third hour. But going back to Wayne Madsen, investigative journalist, former officer at the National Security Agency in very secretive areas, joins us with his perspective on Iran. Colonel Schaefer was on during the last hour, and he said, yes, and he hasn't talked like this before. He said, yes, it's moving in the direction towards an attack on Iran as an October surprise. But that's not foregone conclusion. Cooler heads may prevail in the military. And I'm getting that that's basically what you're implying.
Look, you really can't divorce what's going on with Iran and the saber rattling from the presidential campaign. There's only two Republican candidates who are dead set against going to war with Iran, and that's Ron Paul and somebody we hardly ever hear about. He gets less attention than Paul. That's Buddy Romer from Louisiana. But all the rest of them are trying to outdo one another on who's going to nuke Tehran first, especially Rick Santorum. And I have a story up today, two stories up about Santorum, why he has surged ahead. The man was on the board of directors for the Israel Project, which is a totally pro-Likud think tank here in Washington with deep pockets and his two advisors, his two chief foreign policy advisors, are none other than Michael Ledeen and Richard Pearl. If you remember who those individuals were, they were the chief architects and cheerleaders for the U.S. Intervention in Iraq, and they're certainly at the forefront of those who are calling for the overthrow of the quote-unquote mullahs in Iran.
So continuing along those lines, are we closer to war?
Well, I think what we're going to see here is it's all going to be based on the presidential campaign. Now, Romney, of course, has also called for U.S. troops to not only go back into Iraq, but get into it with the Iranians. But, we know that Mitt Romney is a virtual. I mean, this guy will bend with the wind. He sticks his finger up in the air and sees which way the wind is blowing. But I don't see Romney. If Romney's the nominee, I think that this war talk will diminish. But if it's somebody like Santorum or a Newt Gingrich, who's also in bed with these war hawks, then I think we're going to probably see Obama try to get from under the issue by at least covertly supporting an Anglo-Israeli and maybe French attack on the Iranians. You mentioned that the U.S. troops now are now stationed in Israel, and they're especially for anti-missile defense there. So I think we've got the baseline for either over U.S. military action or covert action using the Israelis, British, and French as sort of as a cover for us. But I think all this depends on the presidential election because Iran, because of this constant drumbeat for war by most of these Republican candidates, Obama's going to have to respond somehow to that.
Well, you're right. We're going to come back in a moment for 5 more minutes, and I want to get your take on Jesse Ventura. The reason I've covered this quite a bit is that it's now been confirmed to be a complete lie. They hired Ventura at MSNBC and then fired him, but kept him under contract and threatened to sue him if he talked bad about the war. And he was under contract for 3 years. Now they're just trying to assassinate his character, claiming he's reckless driving in California when he's in Minnesota. That was a fraud. Now claiming he says he loves it when troops die at a wake in front of people. I mean, this comes right out of Central Casting. He's totally denied it and is, of course, going to sue everybody involved. And he's not litigious, but he will sue people. He's well known for it. But Fox News and others just don't care.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Something like Jesse Ventura being attacked always by Rupert Murdoch outfits the last month with patently fake stories. And then when he threatens to sue them, they just remove it. They don't retract. I have been at the receiving end of this because, you see, as a constitutionalist, as a Ron Paul type libertarian patriot, I'm what Fox News hates because they're the fake version to a certain extent of what I am or what Ron Paul is. So they need to hold that into the spectrum to control the right wing, if you use that outdated, stupid term. I'm into freedom, not about left and right, but they see us as right wing, so they hate us. They want to basically say that restaurant across the street, don't eat there. They've got cockroaches the size of your chihuahua. And it's not true. You know, Fox News has the cockroaches. My business, my operation doesn't. My business is liberty and freedom. Their business is globalization and tyranny. Same thing with the leftist control arms. They're there to be gatekeepers on the left, Ford Foundation, the rest of it. Wayne, in closing, you know, I saw this as key with Ventura. Right as he goes into Mexico, right as they know he doesn't have cell phones till he gets to his place in Baja, and then that Skype, they come out and say, yeah, he was at a bar telling a family he's glad their son died, so I knocked him out. And right as the guy has a book come out, then I looked him up. And what's creepy is he's tied in with what you just said, Richard Pearl, and he's setting up a domestic group to deal with domestic extremists and train police in Dallas nationwide. I mean, I guess they said, okay, here's your first order. We're going to make you a big hero, but destroy Jesse Ventura.
Right. And I think this has to do a lot with Jesse Ventura's support for Ron Paul. Let's not forget, Pearl is also one of the chief advisors to Rick Santorum. Now, let's turn the tables on Mr. Santorum. I'm reporting, basically updating an old story today. Rick Santorum started the Penn State College Republicans in 1977 as a freshman, which is kind of odd, as a freshman, with the help of a guy named Phil English, former congressman from Erie, Pennsylvania. Now, English was arrested in Erie in the 1980s for soliciting sex from an underage African-American male. This was very much covered up. English was the head of the Pennsylvania College Republicans, helped Santorum start the Penn State College Republicans. And 1977 was the same year that Jerry Sandusky began the Second Mile Foundation. Now, what does...
Oh, my gosh. Are you saying he could be involved in that ring?
I'm saying there's a lot of... There's more than smoke there. There's fire there. And let me just say that I'm on this story. And remember, there was a sportscaster out of Pittsburgh who said, look, the Second Mile Foundation was used to pimp young boys out to the well-heeled donors to that foundation.
Well, no, that's the guy that really broke the story that didn't care if they threatened him. That's the guy that broke
it. That's right. There's other sources I have in Pennsylvania who corroborated that. And here's the issue with Santorum and Sandusky. We know that Santorum awarded Sandusky the some sort of an angel award back in 2002, an adoption angel. He was an adoption angel. But Santorum was one of three senators who can, you know, they can hire more staff than members of the House because they have a bigger budget. Santorum was one of three senators that was known to hire a lot of staffers, young male staffers, out of diversion programs. And remember, Second Mile Foundation was, you know, one of the things they did was divert people from jail, and get them, you know, set on a better way, so to speak. They also used pages, congressional pages, Senate pages, to basically hold them in these three Senate offices until some of the perverts over on the House side make their selections, you know, Mark Foley. And
he might have been a stabler. Hold on. Can you do five more minutes to start at the beginning of this and go right through it? Holy mackerel. Investigative journalist Wayne Madsen's our guest, and I tell you, look, the establishment wouldn't be pushing this gentleman unless they had dirt on him to destroy him. You better know that. We'll be right back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Everett, Robert, Judy, Eric, Gazelle, we're going to get to all of you coming up here in about 5 minutes, but I was bringing up, why are they going after Jesse Ventura? And obviously he could do a third-party run. They don't want that, screwing up how they've selected this election with their ringer, the bought and paid for Mitt Romney, and their other ringer, the bought and paid for, either way they want to do it, Barack Obama. They could play the two puppets off against each other. And so clearly they're trying to destroy Ventura with incredible defamation right now. They wouldn't be doing this unless they were concerned. And then he brought up Rick Santorum and connections to the whole Penn State Sandusky situation. So start from the beginning, run through it for folks that forget what goes on in Congress. You've covered it for years. I don't know. A lot of estimations are, what, 60% of the Republican leadership? You don't even get recruited in unless you're part of the pedophile network. Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove are all homoerotic, 110%. Richard Nixon said that to major publications. Just type in Richard Nixon on Bohemian Grove. You'll get Harper's and others. You can actually hear the audio. I can't play it here because of the profanity. So we have to give credibility to what you're saying. But you're investigating this now. You said earlier there's not just smoke, there's fire. Now, I want you to get into that, but this is obviously something dangerous. First, people have asked, you did kind of disappear for about 6 months, and you were overseas. You said you were leaving the country because you've been told by a good source they might try to whack you. Why have you come back to the U.S., Wayne? Then let's get into the Rick Santorum, Sandusky connection.
Right. Well, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the pond until you go over there and you find out things are pretty expensive, and unless you have a good support network, it's hard to just relocate, up and move. So we're in election year. This story now, I think, is very important. The National College Republicans have always been sort of a nexus for a lot of young male gays. In 1973, Terry Dolan, who was later found out to be openly gay, ran for chairman of the National College Republicans. He died in 86, but in 73, he was beaten for that job by none other than Karl Rove. Now, in 1977, Phil English goes from the University of Pennsylvania over to Penn State to help a freshman named Rick Santorum start the Penn State chapter of the College Republicans there. That's the same year that Jerry Sandusky starts the Second Mile Foundation. Both Sandusky and Joe Paterno, big supporters of the College of Penn State Republicans, as well as Republicans statewide in Pennsylvania. In the 1980s, Phil English is the Santorum's friend, who, by the way, is supporting Romney, but he's still saying that he thinks Santorum is a very good candidate, hedging his bets, no doubt. Phil English, when he was city controller of Erie, was arrested for propositioning an underage African-American male. It was covered up because he was a city official. Later, there were two other incidents, one in Erie, one in Harrisburg. The one in Erie was covered up by the mayor, then Lou Tullio. We have Santorum going into the Senate, being one of three senators who would get people from the PAGE system, from the diversion programs, from the college Republicans, to bring them in as staffers and then keep them there until they could be farmed out to House members who would select who they'd want to work on their own staff. Those three senators were Rick Santorum, Jim Talon from Missouri, and George Allen from Virginia. And George Allen, I have to say, is running for his old seat this year from the Old Dominion. So these were the three individuals who I was told back in 06 were part of this whole network of recruitment, and this was at the height of, if you recall, the House Page scandal involving a number of members of Congress, including, of course, Mark Foley from Florida, who resigned because of that scandal. So we have, and then we had in 2002, Santorum awarding Sandusky this award as one of the adoption angels. It's quite clear that Penn State, Sandusky, Santorum are involved with one another. This whole practice, as I mentioned, of Santorum using his Senate office as a magnet and recruiting ground for staffers to go over to similarly inclined.
And let's be clear, the sports writer and newscaster who originally broke all this and forced it out in the open, he's been interviewed in Pennsylvania and said rich donors were coming there. Obviously, Sandusky's not raping children in the showers in broad daylight. If he didn't think, hey, this is, I mean, and of course, the police and others, it turns out, knew 15 years ago and did nothing. So this is the tip of the maggot pile.
Well, and here's another thing. I mentioned that Santorum was a member of the board of the Israel Project. That outfit's chief spokesman has now shown up at Penn State as the lawyer for Penn State to represent them in this whole pedophile scandal, and that guy is Lanny Davis. So Lanny Davis, who worked with Rick Santorum at the Israel Project, now shows up at Penn State. Obviously, and many people think he's, you know, there to cover up. So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye.
Covering Capitol Hill for decades, I mean, I get different numbers from different insiders, but I mean, obviously, they corrupt a lot of them with the hookers. You have under George Herbert Walker Bush the hundreds of nighttime visits, Washington Times. People just searched Washington Times underage prostitute visits. You'll get mainstream articles. You had it under George W. Bush, the male madam coming in. You've got constantly them being caught in bathrooms everywhere. You got the Bohemian Grove. You got all of it. And it's just like, really? I mean, what do these guys do? So why did the system go for these guys? Because they know they can destroy them anytime they want? I mean, what percentage? I mean, we know Barney Frank on record in the 80s. You know, they found an underage prostitution ring being run out of his townhouse, and he gave a press conference. It's in the film I produced that just came out last year, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. And he said, look, if you don't stop bringing this up, I'm going to give names. And they dropped the whole deal. I mean, how bad is it? I mean, a dead reckoning guesstimation here, Wayne.
Well, Barney Frank, back when he gave that news conference, he also said that 25% of the members of the House were of the same persuasion. And he said, and then as an aside, he said, and most of them are Republican. Now, where are we at today? I think 25% is a low estimate, even using Frank's numbers. I would say we're up probably around 45%, maybe even half. The other thing I have to say is, obviously, Penn State being a nexus for this activity, that's another reason they hired Louis Freeh, the big cover-up former director of the FBI, has been hired to be in charge of Penn State's internal...
And they've hired the Merck head. I mean, you talk about vicious. He's involved. I mean, it's a who's who of dastardly characters.
Absolutely, and the word I get from Penn State is, you know, this is a virtual cult up here. It's a very hard cult to penetrate. I mean, football was the veneer, but when you peel back the football layer of this onion, you get into a lot more sordid activities. And I would suggest that one of the key actors in that whole episode from 1977, when he was working with Phil English and people like Terry Dolan and with the National College Republicans, is one Rick Santorum, who is so viciously anti-homosexual, you have to wonder what is prompting him to do that, because the word I'm also getting from the gay community here in Washington is, look, we know all about Rick Santorum, little Ricky, his communication director when he was in the Senate, openly gay African-American man, Robert Trainum, who still supports Santorum today.
And then we've got the whole history of TB, I won't say the name on air, old Rove, a true demon of hell. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is so, just imagining all those people, it's nightmarish. Wow. Hey, why do you think the NDAA legalized the military keeping goats and pigs on the base with them and bestiality?
Well, that was kind of odd. I mean, when I served in the Navy, I can't say that was ever an issue. We had all kinds of other issues with activity, but I just don't recall anybody being involved in the barnyard sex in the Navy. I was surprised to hear that, but maybe there's a reason for that as well. We do know that sometimes there's congressional delegations that visit some of these military bases overseas, for example. Maybe it was to protect the animals from members of Congress and their senior staff members.
Well, I mean, it's in there. They passed it.
I was surprised to see it. I mean, that was an issue that, I had never realized that was an issue. I'm sure there were cases of that in the military, but nothing that would have risen to the point where, you know, Naval Investigative Service or some other investigative arm of the military would have had to, conduct an investigation or court-martial somebody for it.
This country.
It's bizarre.
This country is really becoming a joke. And we're going to go to break and come back with calls, I promise, folks. But the minute we've got left, NDAA, Obama's signing it. Brief take on that, Wayne.
Well, I think, again, this was another bait-and-switch operation. We now see Joe Lieberman starting to talk about deportation of people convicted of terrorism. Look, we already had that poor girl down in Houston deported, a U.S. citizen deported to Colombia. Are we going to see more cases of that? I mean, where would if you're a natural born citizen, where are they going to deport you to? Back to wherever your forefathers hail from?
Well, they're going to deport you to a black site.
Because, I'm afraid so.
Because they strip you of the citizenship, then the torture party begins by our Christian leaders. Wayne Madsen, thank you so much for spending time with us.
You bet.
All right, there he goes, WayneMadsenReport.com. Our sites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and PrisonPlanet.tv. Your call straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, I've got a compilation of clips after I take some calls. Because I haven't talked enough about this. Obama and these recess appointments, they've not been in recess. They've never even tried to bring them before the Congress. It is unprecedented power grab, just like launching wars without congressional approval. So I want to play a compilation of these clips coming up of Obama trying to sell the public on the idea, should I do things without Congress? And they're like, yay, get rid of them. We want a dictator. Super creepy. Everett in Tennessee, you're on the air. Welcome. Thanks for holding.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say real quick, we listen to you on WBCR here, a local radio station, 1470 AM.
1470 are just awesome folks. Yes, sir.
And he's a great friend of mine. And I just want to say, ain't Obama on the head of the Security Council? He sat there, and don't our Constitution prohibit that? And why is that? It's tied into him just going on, might possibly start a big war to finish this new world order that they want to have. And soon I would think that we're seeing the mark of the beast when this stuff starts to happen. Do you believe it?
Yes, but they'll call it the mark of anti-Al-Qaeda, the mark of anti-terror, the mark of trusted traveler. I appreciate your call. Great questions. Yes, there's a rotating membership with the members of the Security Council, and you, again, normally have one of your ambassadors sit on it. But this was the president sitting on it, violating Article 1, Section 9. It's unprecedented, but so is all of this, just out-of-control corruption. Judy in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. It's ironic that you're talking about what you are right now. There's two things that I was thinking about. I feel like my life has changed personally with the enactment of the NDAA. I mean, because I'm a vocal person, even though I'm a nobody. I mean, I send out emails to people.
Oh, yeah, I know. They want to set up a system where you disappear into the night, but they're doing that so you get scared and won't speak out. We have to totally speak out against what they're doing, and they're not going to get away with it. That's why they tried to pass it and claim it didn't affect citizens and then say, well, don't worry, we won't use it against you. So I mean, don't let it, it should concern you, like with a heightened awareness that, wow, these really are criminals. Yes, it is a wake-up call.
And I'm going to continue all that I'm doing. I know that my friends are, and they're all, you know, essentially Ron Paul supporters, or they're just supporters of freedom. And the other thing that I wanted to ask, I mean, it seems very logical, although I don't know how to go about it. I mean, I know the avenues that I've tried to go through in order to, you know, talk to key individuals to get it pushed, but why can't Obama get impeached, like, as soon as possible because of everything that he's done that okay. is natural treason in this country?
Because as Ron Paul's top advisor, Bruce Fine, has pointed out, most of them, Democrat and Republican, are voting for everything Obama's doing. I mean, people that call themselves conservative, well, then you should love Obama, because Mitt Romney is exactly the same person. Another teleprompter reading Kendall, you know, who's well-kept and manicured, but is a globalist stooge. And now there was some talk on the House floor last week about impeaching him over these recess appointments, because there's not even a recess. That's supposed to go on for close to a year before you can even discuss it. It's an emergency recess appointment for now. He's trying to permanently appoint people without even getting congressional approval for them and violating federal law. But, I mean, he violated the law bombing Libya. He violated the law shutting down power plants. He violates the law. I mean, no one has ever done as much as Obama. He is the most corrupt. But, as I've said, it's just going to get worse from here on out if they're a globalist puppet, because the New World Order is in overdrive. I mean, it's not slow-creeping world government anymore. It's out in your face, out in the open. Hey, we want to censor free speech. Hey, we want to arrest you. Hey, we're training your neighbors to spy on you. Hey, we're training your kids in public school to spy on you. Hey, we're going to forcibly inoculate you. Hey, we're going to jack up your taxes and your power bills and rob you. I mean, it is a criminal feeding frenzy. You ever watch underwater footage of sharks get into a feeding frenzy and start biting each other? I mean, it's just a frothing. No one's up there blocking criminality. So it's not even an organized criminal operation anymore. I mean, they've got the basic New World Order system there, but it's just a grabbing and snatching and foaming and fighting and scrabbling around like a bunch of piranha rats on PCP who have rabies from the planet Google Snapper.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You know what? A call like the last one I had from that nice lady. We're going to Gazelle, Eric, and others here in just a moment. Upsets me, because that's what these tyrants count on. When they start admitting, yeah, we're listening to your phones without warrants. Yeah, we're training your kids to spy on you. Yeah, we got face scanning cameras up. Yeah, we're training your neighbors to report your guns. It's meant to scare all of us into hiding. And that's why I had even been conditioned 5, 6, 7 years ago, when open carry groups in Arizona, Vermont, and Texas would show up at town squares, they'd show up at public events with their firearms on their sides. I understood it was their right. But I thought, well, that's provocative. Oh my gosh, they're getting arrested. But they were going to court and winning. It was their right. They are the equivalent in the 2000s as Rosa Parks in the late 1950s and people like her saying, I'm tired. I'm not going to go. There's a front seat right here. I'm sitting here. It's open. I'm not going to the back of the bus. And now police all over the country in just 4 or 5 years, when they see you with your shotgun, your rifle, your M16, your handgun, they're not swarming you or arresting you or freaking out on you. Because they want to act like our freedom is like drugs, illegal drugs, or going to the porno shop and buying a Playboy magazine or whatever and sticking it in a bag and, you know, or like, you know, liquor in a brown paper bag, like something evil. Because you watch all these drama shows, all these sitcoms and cop shows, all of them, they're all set in New York, Chicago, or other total gun ban places. And it's always, oh, in your apartment, your neighbor saw a gun, you're going to jail. That's 20 years, pal. To where I go back to this, because this happened, and it was the big local cleaner place. And I even ended up having, it was a two-man team. One guy got mad and quit that day and ended up calling into my Access TV show. I keep saying 12 years ago. It was like 14, 15. I'm over there at my house. Back then, I broadcast out of my house, had a studio in it. And there's a shotgun, just a Winchester Defender, like a $250 pump shotgun. Because I want low tech if I'm asleep or there's a problem. You know, I mean, I want an easy to control gun, or, you know, shotgun or something like that. And I hear like kind of like an argument going on back there. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They got there after the radio show. And I'm in there making a sandwich, you know, talking to my girlfriend. We weren't married yet. And I hear kind of, no, no, that's okay. It's okay. No, 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 you don't have to do that. No, no, you're allowed to have that in Texas. And it turned out the white guy was from some big eastern city. I forget which one. It was a Hispanic Texan. But he was the assistant, you know, the guy that carries it around behind him. Because I actually worked for a carpet cleaner place and was the assistant one summer. But the point is, I go, what's the problem? And the guy's like, I'm not working here. There's a shotgun up there. And I said, you never seen a gun case? He goes, well, that's not in the case. I go, yeah, it's just a, you know, it's a gun rack. It's right there. It's fine. He goes, is it loaded? And I said, well, yeah, actually it is. I don't have any kids around here. And the guy starts leaving. And I go, hey, here's the newspaper. 2 days ago, I led a gun rally. Here's my picture. See, guns aren't illegal. I caught bribery, because that had just happened like a week before. So I was showing him the Austin American Statesman. See, I'm on the paper, you know, the cover of Metro and State. And the guy's like, no, I'm getting out of here. And I was like, whoa. So then I got a bad feeling about 2 hours later, and I call the place. And they go, yes, Mr. Jones, we all know who you are. No, the police were not called, though they almost were. And, you know, I kind of got lectured, and I was like, wow, that happened. Again, I can't have a shotgun in my house in America? And they count on intimidating us out of our rights and out of our liberties and out of our basic freedoms. And I'm sick of it. So I salute all of you that open carry and put up with being arrested, beat up, you name it. But in hundreds of cases of one, saying, I have a right to carry my firearms in almost every state in the union. That's how you push back. You exercise a right. They pass some fake environmental law that you can't fix your barn or build a barn. Just do it. How about everybody does it? And nobody pays the fines. I mean, it's getting to the point now, the government's so lawless and criminal that it's time to stop complying. You don't have to fight every battle, but just, if you work for the system, I understand pretty much that's all that's left now for a lot of you out there. Just don't go along with everything. Don't be so thug-like. Don't be so happy to nail people to the wall. Don't be so into tyranny. And for people out there that are intimidated, this is meant to intimidate you when Lindsey Graham gets up there and hops around and says, I want you to have no lawyer. It is for citizens. I want you to be scared. They want to intimidate you so you shut up, and then they win. Here's an analogy. You're walking through, let's say you're 12 years old, your mom drops you off at the mall, you're walking, you back out to meet her or whatever, and a man runs up and grabs you by the arm. Do you bite him? Do you kick him? Do you yell? Do you scream? Or do you, because he says, just get in the car and you'll be okay. You're not going to be okay getting in the car. The New World Order's got us by the arm. Of course, we're about a 10,000-pound gorilla. They're a little wart-covered, chicken-necked, you know, buck-toothed little vampire. We're like an 8,000-pound gorilla with just giant steel muscles, power, the light of God shining in our eyes like thunderbolts. And this little vampire comes over and grabs us by the arm, and we just roll over on our belly and just shake in fear. And it's got a little black uniform on, the vampire strutting around, telling us how tough it is. And it grabs us by the arm, and we just start urinating on ourselves like a dog, roll over on our back, groveling in fear. It's a total game. together collectively, we're an 8,000-pound gorilla with muscles of pure steel. Now, individually, I'm kind of like a squirrel to the little 5-foot buck-toothed vampire. And it might be able to catch me and grab me and stick its little rotten fangs in me and kill me. Okay, but let me tell you, us collectively, I mean, they're scared to death of us. We're fire-breathing 8,000-pound gorilla that shoots laser beams out of its eyes. And you've got a slug-like vampire that has to gnaw on you for about an hour just to get blood. I mean, it's that pathetic. And I'm not scared of it. I fear God, and that's it. Okay? And that's what we have to start seeing them as. Don't let it intimidate you. All these checkpoints and TSA, hands down the pants, it's all meant to break our will. So if you have to travel and have to go through it, rebuke it, speak out against it, stand up against it. Sue them, whatever. Just let them know, I know what you're doing, vampire, and you don't get the pleasure of my fear, because they drink fear. They do. They drink fear. All right, I want to go to these clips. The first one is a compilation that we showed last Friday on the Nightly News, but this is Obama, and there's hundreds of these in speeches saying Congress is the problem. Should I act without Congress? Boy, it'd be a lot easier if I didn't have Congress. I could just do whatever I want. Getting the crowds to cheer. He's like a parrot testing its perch. You know, a parrot will test to see if a branch is safe. He's testing. Can I? And the system's testing. He's being told, test the perch. See if they'll bend over for enslavement. See if they'll let us put handcuffs on them. That's what they're doing. The TSA is all for their pedophile training of children. All of it. They're just a pack of ruthless, buck-toothed, cross-eyed, wart-covered, chicken-necked vampires that can't even hardly walk spiritually. I mean, they're a joke. They are bug-eyed, blind zombies. I don't understand the fear of them. And a whole pack of them may grab me, a little squirrel, and eat me. I don't even care. As long as I expose them all. Now we're going to continue with other rodent analogies. Let's go ahead and go to this clip of Obama openly here trying to sell you dictatorship. I can fix everything. Just let me do whatever I want. We've heard that before in history. Here it is.
The Senate blocked a bill that would have created this commission. So I'll issue an executive order that will allow us to go forward, because I refuse to pass this problem on to another generation of Americans. I know some here wish that I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. I know there's some folks who wish I could just bypass Congress.
Super creepy.
I can. Now, I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own. Believe me. And
cheering for tyranny. Yes, yes, we're idiots. We really think you're good. You remember the very same bankers Bush was.
And believe me, right now dealing with Congress, the idea...
Yes, we can get rid of Congress. Well, those folks would take your guns in a minute.
Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting.
And then we've got him being sworn in, saying he'd protect and defend the Constitution. Yeah, one of the people he's putting forward with these recess appointments without ever trying to actually get them through Congress was named Chief Operating Officer of Citigroup's Alternative Investments Unit. He is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and it just goes over all of that. Yeah, replacing another mob boss daily. I mean, literal mafia. So this is the type of garbage that we deal with. Oh, man, it makes my head spin. Yeah, William Daley is resigning as White House Chief of Staff, and the Budget Chief, Jack Lew, will take his place. And no need to get him appointed. Who needs Congress? You can launch a war without him, whatever you want. Here's another clip from Real Clear Politics of Obama being creepy. Here it is.
These are ideas that have support from Democrats. They have support from Republicans around the country, independents around the country. I want to work with Congress to get them done. But when Congress refuses to act, and as a result hurts our economy and puts our people at risk, then I have an obligation as president to do what I can without them.
I hit pause for a minute. See, this is more recent. It was just a few weeks ago or like a week ago. This is what's happening. See, first, the last 3 years is it'd be great to not have Congress, but unfortunately, I got to follow the law. And then a few months later, maybe it would be good if they weren't there. Maybe I will do what I want. And now, years later, yep, I'm doing what I can. Launching war, shutting down power plants. And they're just like, yay, destroy the country faster. This new Lew guy's involved in all these energy companies and payoffs and I mean, it's just mind-blowing. Let's go back to the rest of the clip.
I've got an obligation to act on behalf of the American people.
The foreign bankers?
I'm not going to stand by while a minority in the Senate puts party ideology ahead of the people that we were elected to serve.
Oh, now you're not going to stand by.
Not at this make-or-break moment for middle-class Americans. We're not going to let that happen.
No, he's going to help you. Oh, he cares so much about you. That's enough. Thank you. It goes on and on. Yeah, this is the guy when Congress wouldn't give approval for the Libya situation. He just said, well, I get my authority from the UN. I mean, there's no reason to even have a Congress. And I'm not saying they're going to save us either. They're a bunch of crooks that need to be impeached. And again, it's out of this extreme criminality, this extreme arrogance towards the rule of law, constitution, checks and balances, our protections, common sense, what makes America, America, that they sit there. It's like a bunch of body snatchers, you know, pointing at Ron Paul like he's the guy that's the weirdo. When really, I mean, if you study the Constitution Bill of Rights, Ron Paul is just following the Constitution. But it's so alien today because we've gone so far down this rat hole. Gazelle in Texas, thanks for holding. Then we're going to get to Eric and others. Go ahead, Gazelle.
Is this Cobra Commander?
Cobra currency will replace your dollar. I agree with the World Bank, and I love what's happening with the checkpoints. Cobra agrees.
Wonderful, wonderful. I wanted to, Alex, I wanted to know if you had heard about a series on Showtime called Homeland.
Yes, I know they've got a bunch of different made-for-TV shows, but also reality shows where Homeland Security teaches us how great it is to have checkpoints everywhere. It's all part of the dog training.
Yes, actually, the premise of this show follows a CIA officer who is the hero in the show, and two POWs, which are the Black Hats in the show, and they come back from the Middle East, and they return after being MIA for several years, only to be covert al-Qaeda sleeper cells within the U.S. And what I think is most notable about the series is that it was revealed on NBC Nightly News and other sources that Obama is a fan of the show and that he watches it.
No, they always, they had a Homeland Security celebration for 24 before it got, you know, canceled, worshiping it. Because it taught everyone to like torture. I mean, it's just so sick. But I know they also have a real Homeland Security show that follows Homeland Security around while they do all of their miscreant behavior. You know, it's come out that Obama lets the illegal aliens, even felons, go. We already knew this. Sheriffs have said this for a year, but now it's confirmed that they have hotlines for the illegals when they're in a jail for even committing a regular crime, and the Fed comes and gets them out. I mean, I ought to change my name to some illegal alien name and just prance around and be above the law and pay no taxes and be worshipped as supreme leader.
Indeed. I guess what's so disappointing about this is that this is basically the MIAC report depicted to a T. with returning veterans depicted as threats.
And again, they're not depicting them as somebody who's going to get mad and kill themselves or their wife. They're depicting them as Al Qaeda, and that's what they say in these manuals. They actually teach it. We've published them. The police have sent us. And it's just a joke. I mean, obviously, the terrorists run the government, and the terrorists are trying to use Homeland Security against the American people. It's never been about Al-Qaeda. I mean, Al-Qaeda works for the criminals that run our country publicly. I've got to get some snippets of it. I'm sure it's online and do an article about it. Thanks for the heads up. Eric in Colorado. And then Robert, Raymond, we'll get to most of you on the other side. I keep forgetting to plug this, by the way. We have the best gravity-fed filters out there. We tested a bunch of them and looked at all the ratings. They blow all the competition away. It's ProPure, gravity-fed, stainless steel water filters available at InfoWars.com.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You said one love, one life.
All right, let's jam in a few more phone calls here. Let's talk to Eric in Colorado. Thank you for holding. Good to talk to you.
Alex, hey, how about that Tim Tebow?
Yeah, that's all I'm worried about is that football is great and they're setting up federal checkpoints where they grab your genitals. But, hey, that's what freedom is about. And they're openly pushing forced inoculation and DNA databases when you get pulled over. And but the border's wide open and the government publicly ships drugs in and guns out. So everything's great. Yep.
Just wondering your thoughts on the man. I mean, it was a great game last night. Don't know if you caught it or not, but
I see it just here and there, and read about it. And I'm glad that he's a Christian. I know he's been criticized for that, I wonder if he's the type of Christian that thinks nuking anyone who isn't a Christian is Christian. If he's that type of Christian, I don't like him. What type of Christian is he?
Not sure. I think Southern Baptist.
I know he was homeschooled.
Yeah, he was.
Very interesting.
Other than that.
Well, I wonder what he thinks of the fact the government wants to secretly arrest citizens and have us disappear into black holes. I wonder if that's important, or just praying to God that he win football games. Because, see, I'd pray to God that they not release a deadly bioweapon that they've been producing. I would pray to God that we not have World War III. I would pray to God that the honeybees stop dying in mass. You know what I mean? I appreciate your call. I would pray to God that they stop putting fluoride in the water. I would pray to God that we didn't have the highest cancer rate in the world and Alzheimer's exploding and just plagues upon us while we worship television and mindlessness. You see, let's go ahead and talk to Robert in California. Robert, welcome.
Hey, Alex. How are you?
Good, sir.
I came up with an interesting idea, and I went down to, I live in the Bay Area, and I went down to United Nations Plaza like the week before Christmas, and I polled 232 people about whether they'd prefer world government to national sovereignty. So I thought you'd find that interesting.
And what did they say?
Well, I got 21% for world government.
And that's even in San Francisco where you're brainwashed with it. That's where our government started the UN there, as you know.
Exactly. So I gave them home field advantage. I did it in the most liberal city in the world. And I also, I used a leading question. I said, would you prefer world government or national sovereignty?
The globalists say they know best, so what you want doesn't matter because it's liberal and trendy.
But I also asked them their age, and I kept track of their race, and I did a little bit of analysis of the demographic, and you'd find this really interesting. If you look at who is for world government, you could probably guess.
I would imagine that kind of academic establishment, government worker types?
Virtually every Latino I asked, or Hispanic, was for it, because there's no border. virtually every homeless person I asked was for it. You know, I had people tell me world government. I'd see him picking out of a garbage can an hour later. Or one guy said world government and then threatened to beat me up if I didn't give him a dollar or two. You know?
Well, the world government wants to kill everybody, the majority of the population. Wow. You ought to videotape that and show a composite and put it on YouTube. It'd be a big hit. You know, I'm just a regular guy. I need all of you, I mean, to be doing the same thing. Access TV, local radio shows, put it on YouTube. Start fighting. Start getting the word out. Powerful transmission. Retransmission with Colonel Schaefer coming up now at InfoWars.com. See you back tonight, 7. Great job of the crew.
Thank you for listening.
Don't forget, 15-day free trial, PrisonPlanet.tv. Spread the word about truly independent, hardcore media now. PrisonPlanet.tv.